On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the football team's victory over Florida, review my six-pack of picks and other news from the weekend, and also preview the men's and women's basketball openers. Okay, here we go. Hey, welcome to episode 17 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, and oh my goodness, family, Gamecocks family, what a win. Have a day. Oh my Lanta, how are we feeling? I gotta tell y'all, I'm on cloud nine. I'm sure we all are there. I am still riding high. I woke up. There was no hangover. I was just immediately, give me my phone. I need all of the content. I'm still just diving into all of the Gamecock football content because, wow, what a night. What a win. I mean, I could not wait to record today. Normally, you know, I do the Monday shows. I record on a Sunday. I kind of work my way into it. I get my mind right. I could have started recording, like, from bed. I woke up. It was, like, incredible. I mean, this is why we do it, people. This is why we watch every game. This is why we put our heart into this program. This is why we let our emotions run wild. And that is a year one signature win for Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. Hats off to y'all. Hats off. Great job. Let's enjoy this, y'all. I mean, really, we have been through up and down a lot this season. We've been through a lot the past 2 years. We didn't know where the program was headed. And look, we still don't, right? And I know it's one win and we still have some challenging games ahead of us. But hey, that was something else. You know, we've had some great wins, you know, sprinkled in the last couple of years. But this one just really, man, like the team looked great. Like, who was that? Like, what team was that? I honestly don't know. I mean, they're talk about a bye week turnaround. My goodness, I feel like we haven't seen that in years. Like, even under Spurrier, sometimes after the bye, we would come off a little sluggish. Like, they looked great. I mean, wow. Just, it is just awesome to see. They had a game plan. They executed it well. They looked crisp. They looked sharp. I mean, wow. Really, really cool. And you know what? Real quick, just screw the haters, man. There were a lot of people saying that attendance was going to be super low because the fan morale and support wasn't there. It was crappy weather. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a sellout, but it looked pretty damn packed to me. And I was at a packed bar. Yeah, they play the game sounds, but there's still people talking and things like that. And you could hear the fans even all over that. So if you were in the stadium, bravo. Like, that was an electric atmosphere from start to finish. And that place was packed. It was packed till the clock was zero. And that's how it should be. The Gamecock faithful, never count us out. Don't ever count out the Gamecocks. Incredible. Incredible. Oh my gosh. So we're going to dive right into what I liked, what I didn't like. And it's just incredible. I want to do a quick shout out to Shane Beamer for a couple of reasons. First off, great coaching job, but he changed up his look a little bit. I'm sure everyone noticed he put the ball cap on. Obviously now, coach, you got to stick to the ball cap. It brought some good mojo. It brought some good vibes. He looked more like a ball coach. He was really locked in, and he had the hoodie going. And I got to take this term here. I got to take it from the Chargers head coach. He said it on Pardon My Take, but called the look competitive casual, not business casual, not football guy, competitive casual. And I think Shane Beamer was rocking the hell out of competitive casual on the sidelines. Oh, man, awesome. Awesome. So overall for the team, it really did feel like there was that sense of urgency. I talked about it on Friday's show. Everything we want is still ahead of us. If you want to show momentum, if you want to show progress, and you want to sell that to the fans, to the team, to recruits, it starts this month, and that is how you do it. I mean, I was taking that as, hey, if we can hang with Florida, if we can make it a game, right, not get blown out, I would take that as progress. You did way more than that, and you beat the shit out of Florida. Man, like, they rallied behind JB. I'm going to talk about Jason Brown in a minute, but that team rallied behind him. They rallied behind each other. They won their one-on-one battles, and everybody executed it really well. And speaking of that, finally, not getting in our own way, we had one penalty all night, y'all. One. Like, at times, it's felt like we had one penalty per drive. Like, it would just kill us. And we finally played clean football, allowed us to get into a rhythm on offense in particular, and it allowed the game to move how we wanted it to. We were controlling the clock. We were playing the game at our schedule. It was incredible. I mean, right from the start, you could just tell that the Gamecocks wanted this one more. They were showing emotion that Florida just did not have from the very start. I mean, literally, like, again, what team was that? Like, that we haven't seen that team all year. Like, yeah, EIU, we smacked them around, but against real competition, like, who was that? Like, I have no idea. It was incredible. So on the defensive side of the ball, what did I like? I liked that they hit every single one of my crows to the game. Awesome to see. I feel like a guru. I feel like a genius. Just saw it so clearly. The linebackers, they stepped up their game like I asked. They did not allow the Florida running backs to really get much space. They really didn't catch many balls out of the backfield. And you saw that whenever there was a run, they were crowding the line. Guys were not getting to the edge easily. Emory Jones, they did not allow him to make many plays with his feet. He had a couple, but none that were really backbreakers. He was bottled up for the most part all night. They made him one-dimensional, right? And even Mullen's game plan was rather one-dimensional, at least to start. He was just throw, throw, throw. I mean, whatever. Whatever, man. Scoop and score. I put that crow to the game. If you could score points, makes our job a hell of a lot easier. And that happened. Jabari Ellis, the big man touchdown, nothing. Nothing in football is better than a big man touchdown. I think I saw that he was holding the ball in his press conference, and he already named it Lil Chomp. So welcome to the family, Lil Chomp. And that was really when it started to feel like we were in control and we could pull this off. I believe we were up 13. It was towards the end of the first half, and that put us up 20 going into the half. And it was like, oh man, like, we actually could do this. Because at 13, it still felt like, all right, you know, like, maybe it's not so safe. But man, like, that really was like kind of the nail in the coffin. It didn't feel, you know, at the time, you're not going to say that, but it really did do it. We were able to get off the field on third down a lot, which was really cool, especially early in the game. Cam Smith, interception late in the game. Shout out to Cam Smith. He was rocking it was a camo Supreme, like, headgear. I don't really know, like, what to call it, but it was to keep him warm. It was camo. It was Supreme. Man, like, that was pretty ballin'. What did I not like from the defensive side of the ball? You gave up a couple of big throws downfield early in the game, and that was probably due to the fact that I believe we were selling out for the run. You could tell we were stacking the box a little bit, especially we had linebackers who were lining up in that A gap to provide some pressure. So I think the safeties were creeping up a little bit. They weren't on ready to go back. But so that's going to happen. It's a risk you take. And Dan Mullen did recognize that, which is why he took the deep shots. But, you know, I would have liked our guys to have been able to turn their hips quicker and to chase that down. But it was only a couple ones. So that was the one thing. I mean, you have to talk about it. Other than that, though, the defense, they were lights out. They really played a hell of a game. Gave up 17 points. That's it. To Florida. They really, really stepped up their game. And, I mean, the defensive line, too, all night. Like, they were wreaking havoc. Aaron Sterling, right? J.J. Nibari. You saw Pickens was disrupting it. Tonka Hemingway, I think he made a nice play. it was finally seeing that defensive line step up the way we had hoped it would. I mean, they've played great all year, but now they really stepped up and stopped the run. On the offense, what I liked, damn near everything, y'all. I mean, I think Satterfield woke up and was just like, all right, fine. You guys, you want to see a normal offense? Is that what you want so bad? Fine. Here, I can do that in my sleep. Here you go. I'll call a normal game. I mean, really, it was incredible. What happened? Again, who was this? The O-line, they had their best game of the season out of nowhere without Dylan Wonnum. They had guys in the second level making plays that if you watch the highlight of Lloyd's nice run, there was a guard and maybe even a tackle. They pulled them. The guys were hitting linebackers in the second level. It was incredible. Speaking of that, we had two 100-yard rushers in Kevin Harris and Zee White. Two of them. It was incredible to see. And what I liked was that it seemed like we were running a new formation that we hadn't really seen. It was like a split eye, almost like we had a fullback there. That might have been something they took and learned from the bye week. Maybe they wanted to have a fullback there to help out with the O-line to get a more mobile and fast blocker. I don't know, but what I also liked was that Satterfield, it seemed like he was sticking with whoever had the hot hand, right? After Zee White had that huge run and Kevin Harris had a nice long run too, he kept them in for the next few rushes. And I felt like that earlier in the year, pretty much every game, he was just constantly rotating those guys and he couldn't figure out how to balance it. And it felt like that he was like, all right, you had a nice run. I'm going to keep you in, and it's going to keep the momentum going because now you're seeing the field, you're in the flow of the game, and I think that that is a small difference that made a huge impact. I mean, Zee White, he was running all over the field, man. I love that kid. He has explosiveness. He had quicks. It was awesome when he had that long run and he was going across the field. He was pointing at the blocker. Jason Brown was there. It was really great to see. And Kevin Harris, too. I mean, we had kind of felt like that he was getting back little by little, and it was great to see him have a couple of really big runs and a couple of big conversions, too. Early in the game, there was the 4th-and-1, which I was a little nervous about. I was like, oh, man, like maybe you should just take the points here. Got it. 4th-and-1. You give it to the bus, and he got the job done. But the story of the night, it has to be Jason Brown. I mean, really, what a story. This kid comes, takes a chance on South Carolina. He was probably a little upset that, you know, when Zeb got in over him. But this just shows what is for you will not miss you, right? Like, he mastered the playbook, practiced his ass off, got in shape, prepared like he was the starter, and it paid off. It really did. I mean, if there was a word to describe his game, I would say poise. He had a great pocket presence. He was able to step up and slide away from the pressure, right? He didn't get happy feet. He didn't just cave and take the sack. That Josh Van touchdown, he slid up, and I thought he was going to run and scramble for the first, but he had the poise. He pointed. I mean, anytime you see a quarterback point, you know it's game over. And he hit Van for arguably the most wide-open touchdown I think I've ever seen in my life. But he also, JB, he had the mobility to create plays. Like, that badass rollout spin that he had for the bomb to Van in the early second quarter, I mean, that was Johnny Manziel-esque. Money Manziel, money JB, money Brown. What can Brown do for you? I mean, it does kind of make you think, though, why wasn't he in sooner? I mean, he was on the bench. He was on our team. What was going on here? But, hey. We can't go backwards. We can't get caught up in that. Let's be grateful that he was able to handle business against Florida. Let's be grateful that he was on our team and he was able to step up. He didn't let the moment get too big and he led us to a victory. And he's going to lead us the rest of the way. I mean, there is no reason to think that he will not be the starter for these final three games. And who even knows? I mean, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but if he sticks around for next year, I mean, depending on how he does, I mean, he could be the guy. But so happy for the kid. He deserves it. He distributed the ball well. Everyone thought that he was going to be – it was just going to be him and EJ all night. I think he targeted EJ maybe just once. He distributed the ball well. He got the ball out quick. I mean, that play, the touchdown to Jaheim Bell stands out, where he did a quick drop. Jaheim Bell, quick out route, hit him right where only he could catch it, and Jaheim Bell damn near just walked in. Great, great job, JB. What I didn't like, this is crazy to say given all that we have seen from this offense, nothing. There was not one thing that I could think of or that I wrote down that I didn't really like. You know, I mean, there's a couple of plays here and there that you wish you had executed a little better, or, you know, maybe there's a drop here and there, but honestly, it was incredible. Like, even if you take away the scoop and score, right, we scored 40 points, that's 33 points. They put up 33 points against Florida, best offensive performance we've seen against a Power 5 competition, against really a real competition this year by far. I was hoping for just a little improvement, and we got a huge, huge improvement. So overall for the game, I kind of alluded to it, but like, this feels like the best win we've had in years. Maybe the best one in the post-Spurrier era. I mean, UGA and Auburn, those upsets, they were amazing, but they were kind of miraculous in nature and took mistakes from the other team to put us in that game, and we kind of stole it away. This was a wire-to-wire win. We were leading the whole time. We were relentless in our play calling and aggressive on defense, and we just never took our foot off the gas. I mean, we've seen teams in the past that we've let creep back in, and, you know, it just gets nervous. We were relentless. We just shellacked them. And this felt like we were realizing some of the potential, seeing some of the fruit of the labor that Shane Beamer and company have been working towards. And it really gives you that tangible hope and proof and evidence to what Shane Beamer has been talking about since his hire. All the pieces fit together, and it was incredible to see. And all of our goals are right there, right? I'm not talking about we need 2 wins with 3 to go, and then we could go to a bowl game. We have 5 wins now. Vegas and odds makers thought that we might not win more than 3. We have 5 wins. We have a serious chance to go bowling. We have 3 games left. You need 1 more win. You have to be able to take this momentum and build on it. That is the sign of a team that is turning the corner. That can you build off of this and keep the momentum? It is something else, man. I mean, literally now, we are the talk of the SEC on this Sunday. If you follow any SEC fan accounts, meme accounts, or serious ones, they're talking about this. Like, yeah, they're talking about Dan Mullen is maybe over the hill, maybe his time in Gainesville is up, but it's the performance that we put on that is making this known. They're talking about Jason Brown. They're talking about the Gamecocks. They're talking about Shane Beamer. You have to keep the momentum up. Now, on the opposite side of momentum, we're going to shift gears here. And my 6-pack of picks, not so hot. I had 1 push, 5 losses, but who cares, because the Gamecocks won. I mean, honestly, don't care. And for what it's worth, I did cash a future. I put over 4 wins at the start of the season for Carolina. So thanks, boys. But other than that, I mean, Michigan State lost. So you're looking at Ohio State and Cincinnati. They both won ugly, but who slides into that top 4? It's going to be very interesting to watch. Now, real quick, to wrap up the show, we're going to do a week ahead preview, but also really a basketball preview, because the men's and women's team, they open their season on Tuesday. And that is awesome. The season is here. We're going to have major sports rolling all at the same time. So real quick, the women's team, they're opening up against number 5 NC State in Raleigh. Now, NC State, I believe they actually handed us an L last year, so this should be a good game. But the women's team, I mean, look, it's national championship aspirations led by Aaliyah Boston and Zaya Cook. But also, we have one of the top, if not the top, recruiting classes for the last couple of years now, but also a big-time transfer in Camilla Cardoza, who gives us depth, especially in the post. So those rotations and going 8, 9, 10 deep is something to look out for. Dawn Staley, she could have a serious, serious powerhouse on her hands. So that's going to be fun to watch. I believe that game is at 5 on Tuesday. So, hey, If you're working from home, throw it on. Who cares? It's the end of the day. The men's team, they're opening up against USC Upstate. That game is in Columbia. Is Frank Martin coaching for his job? He very well might be. My question is he healthy? I mean, he had two bouts of COVID. You could tell he was not himself. I hope that he's feeling good. I hope he is energized and wants to prove that he is still the man for this job. The story for them has to be the roster turnover. A lot of transfers in and out. Highlights of the new players, Josh Gray from LSU. He's a bit of a question mark, but he's a big man. Can he provide that spark down low? Eric Stevenson from Washington and freshman Jacoby Wright. He's a hometown kid. He's from Fort Mill. In the exhibition, he was shooting lights out. So I'm going to tweet about those games. I'm going to review those games in the next episode. But hey, basketball season's here, and it is a fun time to be a Gamecock. And so with that, that wraps up today's episode. Let's enjoy it, y'all. Really, this is a great feeling. I hope the team can keep up the momentum, but we've earned this. The team has earned this. We as fans deserve this. It is incredible. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, and Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like the podcast. Can't speak here. I'm too excited. Like the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. And if you are listening on Apple, leave me a review. Leave me 5 stars. Or if you think I'm shit, leave me 2 stars. But please do that. And it was a lot of fun. Let's enjoy this. Let's go, Cox.